Now, I've talked all that time. If you haven't found 1 John, just fake it. I want you to go to this precious book and go to the 3rd chapter, and I want you to start in verse 16. And I want you to start there. Normally, I would like to read the whole section, but I want to just precisely place us there. Understand that this is written by the apostle whom Jesus loved. He was close to Christ, often known to have to seat next to Christ, that he understood the heart of God. We also understand, and I don't know who said it first, but it is said that missions is the heartbeat of God. And while I can't search the Google to find out who said it first, nor to find the exact wording in Scripture just like that that says missions is the heartbeat of God, it's a truism. What is a truism? Something that's quite true. And it is true that the very essence of the redemptive plan of God, what is the redemptive plan of God? That God, from before the foundation of the world, had the sacrifice in place for when man chose to sin, so man could be saved. So to say that missions is just something casual to God, you're wrong. I don't have more time to explain that. You're just wrong. Because missions is everything to God. It is the reason he gave his son. It is the reason his son came. It is the reason his son suffered. It is the reason his son was crucified. It is the reason that he died and was buried and rose again. Pastor said that he imputed his righteousness to us. That's a big word. Imputed. Mike, you got that one? Yeah. Oh, sure. Just yeah, and that's it. How about an explanation? No, Jack's got all the answers. Jack, what you got? Imputed.
It's a term that an accountant uses to write in, you know, your ledger.
To write in my ledger. Yeah. So what was on my ledger before Christ wrote in it?
Sin.
What did Christ impute to me to cancel out or to make it balanced?
He wrote in blood and red, say, when you trust in him.
Wow. I deserve nothing. He gave me everything. That is the very heartbeat of God. And John, with the careful pen of an inspired writer, writes these words to us. 1 John chapter 3, start in verse 16. Hereby, meaning what I'm going to say, you're going to have an indication that something will be true. Notice what he says. Hereby perceive we. What does the word perceive mean? It is to understand. It is to grasp. It is to know. It is something both to see, acknowledge, and completely understand. What are we going to see, acknowledge, and completely understand? Hereby perceive we the love of God. What a powerful thing to realize. Perhaps Brother Wheeler is here tonight, and he knows the love of his wife, Jennifer, right? Jennifer, and he... You're impressed? No, it's Mike, don't worry about it. No, just... No, you were, yeah, well, okay, I remembered your name. I did. Mike, you married up, buddy, that's all I can say. And Jack is here with Mary Ann tonight.
I way up.
Well, yeah, it's clear. And you moved up from last night, too. Yeah. Tomorrow night here, Wednesday night at the altar. But each of you men married ladies and know, appropriately speaking, to what it is to be loved by someone. And that is a magnanimous love. It feels good. It feels like somebody in this world actually said yes to me. Right? It's just like, run! Let's go! She may change her mind. Let's stay right here. How much more so than Marianne's love for you, Jack, is God's love for you, Brother Mike, how much more does God love you than Jennifer? Even on your worst day, God loves you infinitely more. And he says in this passage, we know, we perceive it, we see it, it's evident, we know it. So if I ask you, how do you know, Brother Pratt, that Mrs. Pratt loves you? This would be a good place for an answer. Just saying. You know she loves you a way, please. Puts up with you. I was hoping it involved food and curry and chapates, but whatever. So when you understand she loves you by she puts up with your nonsense. Okay? The kids are nodding. I was like, wow. Struggle bus, first stop right there. Yeah. How do I know God loves, or the love of God? How do I know that? Look at the verse. Hereby perceive we the love of God. How is it evident to me? Because he laid down his life. This is a phrase unique to John in his writing. He'll use this phrase 7 times in his writings. And it is to communicate the ultimate sacrifice of Christ. And here again, his personality being used by the Holy Spirit with the inspiration of writing and God telling him what to write. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life. This is a willingness of his part to give his life. It is not just to say he died, but it is the value of his life that he gave. It is, as Brother Jack said, on my ledger sheet. Nobody uses a ledger sheet anymore. I just, in QuickBooks or Quicken. Okay, fine. And there was this negative balance, if you will. And the debt was so large, I could not add enough credit to my debt. No matter if I paid, I was like owing Visa. You keep paying and you're paying and never get the balance paid. Christ said, I have sufficient resources to zero out your balance, and you will never owe again. And this is how I know he loves me, because he paid my debt. How? By giving his life willingly. It is the sense to have a loving willingness. Oh, you can have a willingness without love, right? Samantha, has your mom ever told your brother to clean his room? Yes. Does he always have a loving willingness to clean it? No. What about his sister? You. No. That's not a loving will. I don't want to clean my room. I don't want to behave. I don't want to do what's right. That's just the natural inclination of the flesh. Christ had a loving willingness that just said, I will. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life, an absolute loving willingness to say, I will credit their indebtedness. And verse number 16 says, because he laid down his life for us and we. Notice the combination. We understand the love was demonstrated to us, but God commendeth his love to us, Paul said, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John is writing, we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And then he does not stop there. While we rejoice in the balance of the love of God for us, then what? there is a responsibility. And we who are the loved, we for whom he laid down his life, we the saved, we should do what? We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There is ought to be a loving willingness for you and I to show by saying, it's not necessarily we're saying to love to die for Claire. It's not to say, in a proper spiritual sense, as your brother in Christ, okay? I love Claire. You siblings have to love each other. You have to. It's your job. You have to love each other. I love all of you. Why? I'm commanded to. But the love of laying down my life is the willingness to commit my resources to demonstrate that love. If Marianne, Brother Jack, do you call him Jack or John? Because I understood his real name is John. But it's a Northeastern thing to call John Jack, and I never understood that. I was born in New York, and I always was called John, but I understood that people, so whatever your name is today, if you said the words, I love you, to Marianne, which I would recommend often. Yeah, good. Yeah, just letting that resonate with you. Daily is good.
Yeah.
Daily is good, yes. Hourly isn't bad, is it?
No.
Struggle bus.
She's not always available. No.
My recommendation is to persistently and consistently tell your wife you love her, okay? Christ never let us go without knowing that he loved us. And if you say the words, I love you, to Marianne, but you never demonstrate your love for her, how does she know you genuinely love her? If you say, you can't have that, that's mine. A loving willingness releases resources and says, whatever I have is yours. You don't have to say, this is mine, this is yours, but there's this loving willingness between each other that you share, right? Good. Mike, right?
Right,
right. Yeah, right? Going to marriage counseling, Pastor Knickerbocker. Here we go. I haven't even gotten to my message yet. You're slow readers. We ought to lay down our lives. This is this loving willingness to use our resources like Christ used his, the loving willingness of Christ used his resources for us, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, again, a reference to these resources, whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, thank you for the privilege I have to be here tonight. Thank you for two churches being represented here. The one who had the heart for the other, the ones that have worked and the ones who've given and the ones who've labored, and now to see this congregation here and those who've worked and those who've labored and all these things, we just rejoice at this beautiful union of a church reproducing church. Pray this evening, dear Father, as we have these moments together, that you will speak to our heart clearly about what this passage is saying. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are five simple things I want to bring to your attention tonight in regard to the passage I just read to you. They all have to do with love does something to us. Brother Mike Wheeler, when Jennifer first expressed her love to you, I assume she did. Yeah, okay. when she first expressed her love for you, how did that make you feel? Wonderful. How does it make you feel tonight? Several children later and... Still wonderful, he said, still wonderful. When your love does stuff to you, doesn't it? And when I look at verse number 16, I'm going to give you five things that start with the word love. Number one, when I consider the love of God, number one, love makes me give. You see, it compels me to give something because the love I receive cost him something. I'm compelled to give when it takes time. I'm compelled to give when I look at the empty tomb. I'm compelled to give when I look at Calvary. Love, knowing I am love, it changes me. It makes me want to give. You say, well, love doesn't make me want to give. Then I really wonder if you genuinely understand what love is. Brother and Mrs. Town are here tonight and they have lovely children, and I just smiled real big when I got to see them tonight being here. And you guys are wondering, could you not just use us and use somebody else, but you're next. But Mrs. Town, when your kids cry, Josh doesn't have to beg you to go tend to the kids, does he? Just a natural inclination in your heart. Why? There's this loving willingness. Now, we won't ask if you have to beg. We won't ask. But we can say this, that love makes you get up and give to those kids. And when I look at the heartbeat of God, there ought to be a sense in me that says, He loves me. Love ought to make me give. Hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for the brethren, and we ought to do the same. Love makes me give. Number two, the second thing I want you to see tonight is love makes me see. What do you mean, see? Notice if you would please, it says, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion. So notice this, seeing your brother have a need. What do you see when you drive through your neighborhood? What do you see when you look at your neighbors? What do you see when you see a pack of young people walking through your community? What do you see when you see? Love makes you see something different. Tonight I want to tell you about a place. It's this county. Half of the state's population lives here in this county. 54% of your county doesn't claim any religion. The largest religion in this county is Catholicism. Everybody else makes up the remaining balance. Like this county, like many places in the U.S., it is the people that are the none of the above religions that make up the majority. We say we are a post-Christian nation. How is that so? We abandoned the Christian principles on which we've developed our value system. And so therefore, if the value system is left up to the whims of man, we are left with a moving target on what is right and what is wrong according to man. And so if we have a county that is given itself to a non-religion, you say, well, Brother O'Malley, we don't have a religion, we have a relationship. I get that. But the fact is that the majority of the religions in this community, there's only 2% Baptist, 1.5% Episcopalian, 26% Catholic, 1% Lutheran, 5% Methodist, 2% Presbyterian, 1.3% Islam. Love makes me see. To see my brother in need. Love makes me give, absolutely. But love lets me see. It's very easy to complain about traffic, about the rise in crime, to the rise in moralist behavior, to have to complain about how mankind is carnal and mankind is mean and vicious. It's easy to complain about those things. But love makes me see them for what their need is. Thankfully, the town family is here to care for those who practice Islam and speak Arabic in this community in Philadelphia. And as they are there to reach them, they can see those. Who is looking for these people here? Love is what makes us see. Love makes us look. It's amazing to me how a mother can see a child in a genuine mother, not someone just who gave birth. A genuine mother can see a child in need, and it doesn't even have to be her own kid. And that maternal instinct, she'll pick them up and speak baby to them, or whatever it is mothers speak to the kids, and you know, the baby whisperer comes along, and all of a sudden the kid is quiet and the kid is gentle. Why? Because love made that mom see. Love ought to make our church see those in our community. Half the state's population lives in this county. They came to you. You're here with truth. Let's get it to them. Love makes me give. Number two, love makes me see. Number three, love makes me decide. Notice what it says. Shutteth up his bowels of compassion. That is this, if you will, it's a complicated word. The word is visceral. It is that internal, there's a really not a fancy way to say it. It's how you feel in your gut. Love makes you decide. Am I going to open my hand and heart, or am I going to close my hand and heart? Notice how he refers to it. Bowels of compassion. That is the inside man. That's the visceral response to man's need. Love makes me see. Love makes me give. And love helps me to decide, what am I going to do? You heard these statistics. You live these statistics. This is your community. This is why this church is here, to proclaim the gospel in this community. Yes, I am thrilled this church is burdened about the world, as it should be. You have the majority secular population in this county. Love ought to make us see them. Love ought to make us give. And love ought to make us decide, what are we going to do? John writes, and he said, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother in need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, that's the decision. Watch this last statement. The question is formulated in the last statement. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Number one, love makes me give. Number two, love makes me see. Number three, love makes me decide. Number four, love makes me check my heart. The inventory of love in my heart is checked by the way I see, the way I give, and what I decide. How dwelleth the love of God? It's almost an impossibility to say, if using Brother Jack's illustration of a ledger, and I had a negative balance, and he came and he reconciled that balance, made that balance superior than what it ever could have been on my own. He made that balance where it's covered by the blood. I've been declared legally righteous. The account is settled. The righteousness of God is imputed to my account. And if I look at that new balance of his righteousness in my life, how can I say the love of God dwells in me if I'm not seeing people, giving to people? Love makes me see. Love makes me give. Love makes me decide, what am I going to do? These faith promise cards that you've been given. Why? Well, it's to say, how's the love of God dwelling in you? So I'm not giving anything. Okay, I'm just going to ask you one question. How dwelleth the love of God in you? You say, well, I don't like them. That's okay, you just have to love them. Say, well, there are people moving in our community and changing the culture of our county. The whole world is changing. We're becoming worse and worse as humanity, as sin is raging. We don't do missions based on whether we like people or not. We do missions because we're commanded to love them. Love makes me see them. Love makes me give. Love makes me decide, and love makes me check my heart. Because if I find mischief or naughtiness or hatred or bitterness or malice in my heart, I'm wrong. I guess you could ask the question, how dwelleth the love of God? Meaning, how's it doing in your heart? What's the balance of love in your heart? It would be easy to say, let me see the needs in Burkina Faso. Let me see the need in Papua New Guinea. Let me see the need in Cambodia. Let me see the need in Ireland. And then close our eyes here. No. Love makes me give. Love makes me see. Love makes me decide. Love makes me check my heart. Here's the last one. Love makes me take action. Verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Now that's not saying we don't speak words of love. That's not what that's saying. It's saying, let's not just love in word or in tongue, but what? To show up with truth and action. In truth and in deed. The love of God has been applied to my life, and as applied to my life, love makes me give, love makes me see, love makes me decide, love makes me check my heart, and this last idea is love makes me take action. I just don't have a good talk, I have a good walk. I have a faith promise card here in my Bible from here from the church, and a beautiful card at that. I look at this card. And this is really everything in one. If you think about it, love makes me give. Love makes me see. Love makes me decide. Love makes me check my heart. And love makes me take action. Be one thing to say, I got my salvation. Everybody else can get there on their own. And I ask you back, how does the love of God dwell in your heart if you can speak that way? To be recipients or benefactors of the gospel and not turn around and be a benefactor to somebody else to say, we got it, let's give it. I mean, you're in a wonderful place. You have a great pastor and you've got opportunities to reach the world for Christ. The world is around you. More than half the people in this county claim no religion at all. So, well, I don't want to offend anybody. More than half of the county is going to hell. So, well, trust me, even if you find one that is saved, they won't mind you asking them. And for the rest, tell everybody. Take those tracts, deliver the message. We'll make more. Love should change me. And if my heart is cold or hard, fix it. Because when I think about how wonderful the love of God is, it ought to make me give, and it ought to make me see, and it ought to make me decide, and it ought to make me check my heart, and it ought to make me take action. And if the love of God is not doing in your life, pull back just a second and figure out what's wrong. Would you stand with me?